This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. December's Indian Ocean tsunami killed and displaced hundreds of thousands of people. Relief efforts have focused on the human tragedy. Scientists are now examining the damage to the ecology. In the first of two reports, Elizabeth Arnold takes us on a National Geographic radio expedition to Sri Lanka.
Nearly a month after the tsunami, Sri Lanka is still digging itself out. It's as though it happened yesterday. The rutted coastal highway is once again choked with ox carts and motor scooters, and in every town, Buddhist prayers once again blare from newly strung up speakers. But the bits of people's lives are still caught in tree branches and hang from telephone poles, children's toys, clothes, and bedsheets. It's a landscape of rubble, every lost shoe a story. Rows of orange and blue tents are set up where towns once stood. Pieces of boats rest on the skeletons of hotels. Concrete steps lead to houses that are no longer there. It's hot and steamy. It smells of smoke from untended fires that burn along the roadside. Women in saris pick through the twisted remains of a commuter train, its windows pried open. Men line up little desks and chairs in an empty field, all that's left of a school that was swept away. It's horrific, and there's no one to blame. A war zone, but the enemy was simply the sea. We thought we were somehow prepared for this, but inside our little van, even after several hours, we're still stunned by what we see.
Look at this. Look at this. See that ship? It's on the jetty. See the huge ship?
Yeah.
But not this ship. See the ship that's facing us there?
Yeah, the one facing us this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the,
on the
jetty.
Oh my lord.
See that? It's a dredger. 750 tons. So you can just imagine the power of that wave, you know?
A team of three has been sent by the Nature Conservancy to join with the Sri Lankan Wildlife Conservation Society to do a rapid assessment to take the vital signs of coral reefs, mangrove, and beaches along the western coast, all the way around the southern tip of the country to the protected parks of the east. It's an ambitious task, especially in the wake of a disaster. In what's left of Unavatuna, we locate the only boat that's not in pieces to see what remains of the reef offshore. Sri Lankan-born Sanjan Muthalingam is a lead scientist with the conservancy. He's wanted to return for years to give the conservation movement here a boost. Now he and his hastily assembled team have about a week to survey the impact of the tsunami and to see if natural systems helped it all to lessen the damage.
When we get to the beginning of the reef, we're going to dive.
Yeah.
We first want to do one run on the boat without diving. And we'll get the... You tell me where it starts and where it sort of ends. And then the second time, then we'll stop in three places.
With us today is Rohan, one of the few divers in what's left of the town. His dive shop was destroyed, but he's resurrected mismatched fins and battered tanks to help. As we head out to the furthest point on the reef, the wooden boat labors against the swells. We're the only ones out on the water. Few here have returned yet to the sea.
Rohan, the boat's okay out here.
Yeah, okay. I hope so. This is... It's no problem. But we go slowly.
The way I would describe this boat is very, very rickety. And very overcrowded.
The diving proves difficult.
That's as murky as you can get. It's like green pea soup under there.
So there's quite a lot of coral damage there. Broken coral. Big broken coral. And then now you're starting to see, clothing, shoes.
But after 2 days and a dozen more dives along this coast, it becomes clear that most of the damage occurred before the tsunami. Much of the coral was already dead from the bleaching effect of El Nino years ago. Some has been mined for lime to make concrete, broken off by anchors and tourists, or blasted from explosives by fishermen. Really, the most recent breakage is minimal, the large debris that raked across it when the waves retreated.
We expected to see the biggest damage of the tsunami on the marine ocean. And what we really found out was that the biggest damage to the nearshore coral and reef environments in the southern coast is not tsunami, but it's human caused.
The most damaged reefs are where the coast is most developed, closest to the sea. And the most destruction on land is where reefs didn't function as a breakwater because they were so eroded. A mangrove that would have anchored the shore was destroyed long ago. As hotel owners now prepare to rebuild, a 100-meter buffer zone along the coast is a hotly contested issue. The government has never enforced the law.
I think we would have to point out to them that they have an opportunity here to get it right in terms of marine coral conservation. You know, 30 years, 40 years from now, maybe not even that long, maybe 10 years from now, those guys would get wiped out, not because of the tsunami, but because there's no more reef to go see. You know, the tsunami in some ways gave the chance for a do-over. And if we can just sort of get that conservation ethic built into those reefs, I can't believe it's going to hurt anyone.
The contrast between the human and natural worlds is even more clear on the coast past the southernmost tip of Sri Lanka, where the concrete fragments of tourist hotels give way to stretches of protected coastline. The dunes of Bundala National Park are an oasis in a tiny, tightly packed country of 21 million people. Walking the beach here, it's hard to tell anything happened but a very high tide. After a few miles of hiking and mapping, Ravi Koria, head of the Wildlife Conservation Society here, shakes his head at the obvious ecological lesson.
They are talking about early warning systems and all this, you know, spending billions of dollars for all these high-tech gadgets, right? The sand dunes are like a natural barrier. The lesson is leave natural barriers alone, like mangroves and, you know, reefs. Give them more priority.
Still, the parts of this coastline are even protected. Elephants and leopards still roam freely is a tribute to the people who share this small island. Though he mourns the loss of human life, Sanjan believes there's an opportunity here.
Under certain measures, they've done a better job protecting what they have in terms of nature. Under extraordinary difficult circumstances, people really do get killed by this stuff. They really do live in poverty. There really is pressure for access to resources and land. They've done a remarkable job of holding on to what they have. But I have this feeling that things are changing, society is changing, and modernization is occurring very quickly. And that ethic that allows nature to still exist in the pockets of Sri Lanka, I think may disappear. That's why I feel like this is a crucial time.
For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. Photos from Elizabeth Arnold's trek are at npr.org. Tomorrow, we continue up the Sri Lankan coastline.